Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The opinions represented during this show may not necessarily represent those of KRMG or Cox Media Group.
Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8387. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Now here's Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning, everybody. My name's Russell Mills, and you are listening to Money Talk, live and local here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. In the studio with me, of course, Mr. Dan Witham and Mr. Steve Money. And the microphone that just fell right off the table and created an entire chaotic event. Okay, we'll fix that in a second. You can text us, of course, at 95920 if you've got any questions, like what the heck happened to that microphone and is Steve okay? And then every week, Dan gives away free books. Dan, it's live radio, baby. Take it away.
Yeah, I'm trying not to laugh here, Steve. Sorry. I'm trying not to laugh at your business.
He lives.
Anyhow, the book this week is The Little Book of Safe Money, How to Conquer Killer Markets, Con Artists, and Yourself. This is an excellent book in light of recent events in the stock market. And I love doing the show on weeks like this where we have interesting events to talk about. It is very interesting, and we're going to talk about that. But anyhow, this book acts as a guide for those trying to make their way through today's down markets, which is very timely, I think.
Today is a down market, or this Friday.
The topics covered include everything from investing behavior, why our minds come up with their own set of biases that often prove harmful, to the use of financial advisors. It also goes one step further by questioning investors' true appetite for risk. I love some of the chapters, titles, Steve, from this book. The Three Commandments is one. You are an egg is another. Keep your cash from turning into trash. Guarantees are not all they're cracked up to be. And fixing your fixed income, to name a few. This book is absolutely free. We'll send you a copy of it. No cost and no obligation. We'll also send you a copy of our target volatility strategy, the memo on that, and how it works. And I won't say memo. I think it's the wrong word.
Nah, let's not use that word today.
It's a white paper is what it is. And it explains how to adjust how we adjust the volatility level of your portfolio every month. And it did just that a few days ago, as a matter of fact, at month end. And we'll talk about that later in the show. The white paper on target volatility and the book are free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. And leave your name and address, please. You will get our voicemail, so leave your name and address, and we'll send you the book, The Little Book of Safe Money, along with our target volatility strategy that is designed precisely for times like these in the market to keep you on plan and on target. And one thing I want to mention before I forget, Russell, in 2 weeks we're going to have a guest on here, CPA. Sam Remy is going to come on and talk about tax questions, very timely information, and talk all about your taxes and how to maybe save some money for people on their taxes as well.
It's that time of year, folks. We actually went and filed ours the other day, hoping to get a return, and we'll get a return, but not as much as we got last year, interestingly.
That's right. So, yeah, interesting. Let's talk about the market. We had a little bit of events,
a little hiccup, a little movement
this past week. Volatility, as it has been said, is the price we pay for the higher returns of the stock market. This past week, we received a very poignant reminder as to why the market has higher returns than CDs, because it has that
risk.
V word. Well, it goes with it, the volatility that moves along with it, up and down. No, risk, you're right. Whichever way you want to look at it, risk is one definition of volatility. Yes, absolutely. And the market has reminded us that it doesn't always go up. As a matter of fact, we haven't had a 5% correction in well over a year.
Which is what you were telling me before we went on the air. That's normal. Like every year we usually have about a 5% correction at some point.
And this may well turn into a 5% correction. Right now we're down about 3.8% from the high on January 26th, the Friday before. We dropped about 3.8% for the week this past week. So to get to 5 only takes another 1.2. You know, it's not very far from where we're at for us to get to 5%. But, and it may go further. I think that come Monday, the market's probably going to be okay. I'm not too overly worried about the market, to be quite frank, because you have to step back and you have to look at what the catalyst was for the pullback this week.
Which was what?
The catalyst, really, if you go back to Bill Clinton, 92.
This is Bill's fault?
Yeah.
I thought he was, sipping pina coladas somewhere. What the heck?
Bill Clinton, when he ran for, I believe it was for president the first time in 92. Do I have the right year?
92,
okay,
yes.
Okay, 92. His mantra was, it's the economy, stupid, right? Remember that?
Yes.
And he was right. That is what people vote based on, the economy, more than anything.
Quite a bit.
It was all about jobs. Well, this past week, we had a jobs number that came out that was a very strong number, 200,000 jobs added in the month of January. But there was a more disturbing number to the market, which was the average wages increased 0.3%, which for 1 month is higher than we've seen lately. So that puts them at an annual rate of 3.6, if you multiply that by 12, 3.6%, which means that inflation may rear its ugly head, and the market is fearing that the Fed is going to be more aggressive in staving off inflation. Well, that is the Fed's primary responsibility, the Federal Reserve. I'm referring to the Federal Reserve Bank. Their primary responsibility is to control inflation in the economy and to keep it under control. And, of course, they do this by raising rates when things start to get heated in the economy, when things start to move to the upside quickly. They have to raise rates, and they may have to raise them a little bit more quickly. Now, we've become accustomed to slower growth and slower, a lot of things, lower wage increases, things like that over the past years. And so we don't realize that this is really actually a pretty normal economic phenomenon, what we're seeing right now. This is not that unusual. We saw a 2.6 growth, I think it was, in GDP in the fourth quarter, I think was the number, which is fairly normal. It just seemed higher than what we were used to. And so what we're seeing now is a return to a more robust economy, for lack of a better term. And yet the market is a little bit spooked by this because of the interest rate scenario. And the 10-year Treasury bill rates went up this past, the yield went up, which means the prices went down, which means that the market is anticipating interest rate hikes from the Fed.
Which the Fed kind of is signaling that,
yes,
they do plan to do that,
yes,
right?
They've said they're probably going to raise rates three times this year, as a matter of fact. And the market now thinks they may do it four times this year. And my answer to that is, that's okay. Because as long as they do it in, you know, quarter point hikes or moderate hikes each time, if they don't come out and say we're going to raise it 1% today, that would be a shock to the economy, yes, and to the market. That would not be good. That's what they did in the early 90s. In 94, that's about what they did. And so we just have to be careful, and the Fed has to be careful to make sure that they are doing it in an orderly fashion, of course. And when the Fed for the last probably 20 years, I would say, has been more transparent than they were before that. They've gotten to this point where they telegraph their moves ahead of time to the markets through their communications, their public communications, excuse me. And so the markets tend to anticipate every Fed move, be it up or down. We tend to anticipate the Fed moves. And so by the time they get around to doing it, it's usually, you know, 6 months to a year after they tell us they're going to do it. So the market really doesn't have a big shock to it. But this past week, the market just kind of overreacted. Now, remember when we had Brexit?
Right.
You know, while back, and the market overreacted to Brexit, right? The market overreacted to Greece. The market overreacted to Brexit. The market overreacts to everything, but especially to negative news. It overreacts to positive news to a degree, but it vastly overreacts to negative news. And this is kind of a negative news, if you will, for the market, from a standpoint of the market. But the reality is, it's actually good news, I think, because it's good for the economy. The economy is growing. There's people that are working, and jobs are going to be created, a little bit more jobs. One of the things I saw when I looked through the numbers for last quarter was the GDP number showed a 2.6 growth in the fourth quarter, but it didn't reflect one sizable number that was in there, which was a sizable decrease in inventories on hand for businesses. What that means is businesses reduced their inventory on hand in the fourth quarter and didn't replenish those inventories. And that keeps the GDP number a little bit lower than what it should have been, because if they'd order those goods, then their upstream suppliers would have made more money and produced more goods. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so what we'll probably see in the first quarter is they have to make up for that inventory, which means they have to order this quarter's plus last quarter's, part of last quarter's goods and inventories, which means you could see more heating up of the economy, more inflation.
Do we have any idea why they didn't order more inventory? Are they expecting a downturn in sales?
No, I think the only thing I can think of is that they may have been waiting for the tax plan to take effect in the new year, because they could see that coming. You know, we could see that in the works in the fourth quarter a little bit.
Right.
You know, we kind of knew that was coming. That's the only thing I can think of. There may be another reason. You may be right. It may be what you said. I don't think it was that, because we're seeing pretty strong ordering all across the economy, pretty good strength, you know, in a broad term, very broad terms across the economy. So typically they do that. And the other thing is, a lot of businesses have to pay taxes based on their inventory. And so the lower their inventory, the to lower their taxes for property tax.
Which is why towards the end of the year you get
rid
of
inventory. So you have to do your inventory, and you have to take a snapshot of it once a year. And if you have less inventory, you pay basically essentially pay less taxes on that inventory is what it comes down to. And that may be the rationale for it, Russell. I'm not sure that that is it, but I could see where that would make sense for them to have done that. So, you know, if you go back and look at the jobs numbers, the Trump has averaged about 180,000 a month since he's been in office, right at about 180,000. So last month was 200,000. We're seeing that number creep to the upside. Basically, it's climbing. It's a number that's climbing. We've seen a few months where there were anomalies, like September of last year was an anomaly. I think we only had like 14,000 jobs, which to me sounds like a data error because that's just real bizarre.
Yeah, it is way low.
Yeah, because the month before was 221,000. The month after it was 271,000. So dipping to 14, just something just doesn't look right there, you know. And now, if the economy were slowing down and things, and we're going to recession, I could see that, but that wasn't what happened, obviously. So I'm not sure what happened in September, but I think there was something goofy about that number, to be honest. It just doesn't sound right. It just doesn't sound right at all. But the economy is firing on all cylinders right now, and I'm sure Trump is happy, but the question is, the problem with that is you get inflation and then you get higher interest rates. And that's the people that hurts the most is the home builders more than anybody else, is home builders and large utilities that have to borrow a lot of capital to build their plant and equipment, like PSO or companies like that, that they'll have to pay a higher rate basically to do that as interest rates rise.
And again, the Fed is planning, they think, on bumping those interest rates, but they're doing it very incrementally. We're talking a quarter of a point at a time.
Yes.
So it's not like there's going to be a major shock to the system. All right. So we got to take a quick timeout, and it will be a quick timeout. We will be right back with more Money Talk. Right after this, just a quick reminder, you can get that free book, The Little Book of Safe Money. Yeah, and you don't even have to spend money to get it. He's going to send it to you absolutely free. I'm talking about Dan. He will send you that book. All you do is call his office, 398-8387, 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so they know where to send it. You're listening to Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740, KRMG.
Waiting, hoping, hoping you'll come back. You're the one I love, and I think about you all the time.
You're mine.
Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3, K and AM 740, KRMG. I'm Russell Mills. Coming up here in, about 11 minutes now, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. It's going to be a chilly Sunday for you, so warm up by a nice TV, enjoy the game, and then tomorrow we'll see a little warm up. Later in the week, it could be dicey, so do stay tuned for that. Coming up next hour, Fox News Sunday. Remember, if you've got questions, you can text us at 95920. Our buddy Farrell just texted in, wants to know if he can borrow $20 for gas.
Oh,
the
man.
Answer, Farrell, is no. I'm just going to go ahead and jump that shark. And it,
But.
Okay, go ahead.
He did get his Porsche.
He got a Porsche, not the one.
He got his Porsche.
He got it.
He was not kidding about
He was
Porsche.
Not kidding.
Is he kidding about the $20 for gas?
He might not be kidding about that either.
Now. He might need it now.
All right.
Might,
congratulations on that purchase, Farrell. We're all very proud of you. All right. So here's something you can get without having to make a purchase. Dan's giving away books. Tell them about it.
That's right. It's The Little Book of Safe Money, How to Conquer Killer Markets, Con Artists, and Yourself. We'll send you a free copy of it and our white paper on the Target Volatility Strategy, which is designed to reduce volatility and keep it at a constant level for you as markets change and as circumstances change. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387, 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address, and we will send you the book and the report absolutely free. And the Target Volatility is doing just what it should do, by the way. Before I forget, two things, Russell. A, the music selection is because of the death of
it's
Buddy Holly.
It's a special
anniversary
day.
Of the death of Buddy Holly and Richie Valens.
February 3rd, 1959. Yes. It was actually yesterday. It was the 59th anniversary. That was a tragic day. And yes, Dan Witham has a rock and roll heart.
I love Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly is my favorite musician of all time.
Really?
So, yes. And the Big Bopper was in the plane, too. I should mention
And, of course,
well.
a Tulsa Richie Boy was in the biopic. My mind just went completely
Talking
blank.
About Tommy?
No, I'm talking about Gary Busey.
Oh, Gary Busey. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Did a fantastic job with that movie. Okay, you said two things. What was the second thing?
And he sang those songs, by the way.
Yes. He did the singing.
Yes.
I wanted you to give out the number of people text if they have questions.
Oh, absolutely. If you'd like to text us about something besides borrowing money for gas for your brand new Porsche, Farrell, you can text.
A man's got to have his priorities.
You can text us at 95920. That is the number to text our questions.
Okay. In light of what happened this past week, you know, the market was down, you know, 3.8% roughly over the last week. I wanted to step back and talk about where the market's at right now. The S&P went from 2872 on January 26th to 2762 this past Friday, basically a drop of 110 points in 5 days. And I talk about the S&P, Russell, because the Dow is completely irrelevant in terms of the market.
The Dow is 30 companies.
Yes, it has nothing to do with the market.
The S&P 500 is 500 companies.
Yeah.
So you get a better segment, I guess,
data. So where is the market at year to date? We were down 3.8% this past week. Well, we closed at 26.95 on December 29th. We're up 2.4%. Even after last week, we're up 2.4% in just over a month and 2 days, basically. That's an annual rate of 28.8% return for the S&P. I'll take it. Every day,
assuming
all day long.
Doesn't continue to slide.
Right. But if it keeps doing this every month for the next 12 months, I'll be quite happy. You know, 28% is an excellent, excellent return. Please, please give me a market like this every single day until I die. And then a few years after that, I'll take it. And so, you know, you have to remember the market got ahead of itself in January. The market had quite a run up in January. And we did. And we were due for a pullback. And we still haven't had a 5% pullback. We are due for one. We will probably have one. That may be what this week is going to prove to be. But now is the time when the market is closed, today being Sunday. Now is the time to reexamine your strategy. Now is the time to look at it rather than waiting until tomorrow when the market opens and panicking and figuring out something to do. And hopefully you have a strategy. And if you don't, I would recommend you get one quickly. Don't wait until the market opens Monday to decide what you're going to do. Decide now. And what I will tell you, what I think you should do is whatever your strategy dictates, that's what you should do, whether it's buy or sell or hold, right? Because some strategies may say to buy in this market. Some strategies may say to sell. Some may say to hold what you've got. But I suggest whatever your strategy does, that you follow your discipline and stick to your discipline. And this is when it's tough to do that. This is when it's not easy to do because the sky is falling, so to speak.
Well, this is why you have one.
Right.
So that when the poop's hitting the fan, you got a plan because, you know, this is just like in the police work, you know. When the bullets are flying, you don't have time to think about, wonder what I should be doing here.
Right.
That your training and experience and investing is the same way. It's what we talk about all the time. Have a plan. So when you're not sure what to do, just follow your plan, and you're going to be mostly right.
Absolutely. And you have to, because if you don't follow the plan, your plan
is just not a plan.
Subject to the vagaries of the market and the news media. And if you look at the news media, I hate to invest according to what they say because, you know, it's one day and one thing the next day, depending on which station you watch. If you watch MSNBC and then watch Fox News, you're going to go from one extreme to the other, you know, based on your belief of where things are headed and what's going on. And that would be a normal day. You know, I talk about our target volatility strategy a lot on the show. And I'll tell you what it said at the end of January. It said to raise our bond position by over 80% because volatility spiked on the S&P the last week of January, went from 6 to 12%. It went up 100% in 4 days. What does that tell you? It tells you there's bad things ahead.
Something's happening.
It tells you bad
things. The waves are
bad,
choppy. The surf is choppy.
it's like when you go to the train tracks and, you know, the bells are ringing, the lights are flashing and saying, don't go across here. And that's what it was doing. It was saying, hey, it's time to reevaluate this. It's time to move to bonds. And volatility is a good predictor of future market moves. It's not perfect, but it's pretty accurate. In this case, it was pretty darn accurate, I'd say. Mm-hmm. It was very accurate. And it spiked, you know, from 6 to 12%, and that's a 100% increase. In a four-day period, that's pretty rad. That's a very dramatic increase, I will tell you. And with our volatility strategy, what we try to do, basically, is to reduce our equity exposure as the volatility increases on the underlying equities. And we try to do it on a systematic basis every month. I run the algorithms for all 9 asset classes that we use and then adjust the positions based on the volatility of the underlying instruments, the stock instruments, and the bonds to make it a 7% target volatility to keep us at a constant volatility level. And this told us, you know, at the end of January, it said increase bond positions by 80%, which is a sizable increase in bond positions. We normally don't see that. I normally see, you know, 2 or 3% increases in bond positions in a given month. But when it says 80%, it got my attention. I can tell you that got my attention.
And this was on February 1st?
January 31st.
Okay, so on February 1st, you made that adjustment.
Right.
And on February 2nd, there was a major adjustment downward on the major indexes.
Yes.
So it worked. I mean, that target volatility plan worked like a charm.
Yes,
so that's what it sounds like.
And that's what I like. But the main thing here isn't target volatility. The main thing here is that we had a plan that we're sticking to.
I was going to ask, so what you're saying is you followed your plan.
Right.
Because when you say something says to do anything by 80%, my antenna goes up a little bit.
Right.
Rarely is it a good idea to do anything.
Yes.
On the stop of a dime.
Right.
At 80%.
It's a sizable move. And, you know, back in 08, the target volatility strategy said to go 96% into bonds, which is a pretty healthy bond position. When you have 96% of your money in bonds, you're pretty heavily betting on bonds, obviously. And it was right, obviously, because stocks cratered in the second half of 08 and they did very poorly. Meanwhile, treasuries went straight up at the same time. And the target volatility said put all your money in treasuries, basically. And it was right. It was right on the money. And the nice thing about target volatility is we're making monthly adjustments. So we're not locked into a program for 3 or 6 months or anything like that. It can adjust more quickly to market conditions like this when they occur in the middle of a quarter.
So when you're monitoring the volatility,
yes,
and for first time listeners, that's a squiggly lines on the chart you see on TV.
Standard deviation.
That's right. It's just the price going up and down, up and down, up and down. But my question is this: so when you saw that happening with volatility, is that kind of like the people that monitor earthquakes, and you kind of get these little rumblings before the big one hits, and you start seeing those lines going up and down, up and down, being volatile,
right?
Is that the warning sign that something, we don't know what, but something's getting ready to happen? Or do you have an indication of what's going to happen?
No, that's exactly what it is. And in periods of low volatility, you typically have good markets and good returns. And you want low volatility if you have high equity exposure. You want low volatility. The S&P have been humming along at 6%, volatility, which is a very low level for the S&P because the norm is 18% historically. So 6% is extremely low. And so, hence, for January, the returns were very good, as we saw. The market ran up quite a bit, in the 5 to 6% range. And so the returns were great. But yeah, you're right. When volatility spikes, it's the warning that says there's something bad that's about to happen. It's not just something that's about to happen. It's usually something bad that's about to happen.
Well, that was my next question. Does it mean something bad or just something? And if it's just something, then you go, okay, well, that's when you fall back on your discipline. Whatever your philosophy is, that's when you do it. Because we don't know what's going to happen, but something is.
Right. Typically, when the market moves to the upside, if it moves quickly, like in January, the volatility is fairly low. But toward the end of January, we started to see movements to the downside in both directions. And that's where you get your standard deviation increases. Thus, the cause for the algorithm to say, move more money to bonds. And that's what we're trying to do, is anticipate what the market's going to do. The nice thing is we still have some equity exposure, almost no matter what it's going to do. It's going to have some equity exposure.
So you are like a financial seismograph.
Well, I don't know about that. But
things are rattling.
It's kind of like what we're
so
looking
start paying
at.
Attention.
Yes, we kind of interpret it the same way. You're right.
Yep.
When lines get bigger, the squiggly lines get bigger, we tend to get a little more cautious in our exposure and reduce our exposure.
All righty. If you'd like to get a free copy of today's book, The Little Book of Safe Money, call Dan's office. The number there, 918-398-8387. 398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address, because it's Sunday and you're going to get the voicemail because nobody's there. One more time, 398-8387. The book, Little Book of Safe Money. More money talk after the break here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me. It's funny, honey, you don't care. You never listen to my prayer. Maybe, baby, you will love me someday.
Hello, baby. Yeah, this is the Big Bopper speaking.
Oh, yeah. Let's just listen to this for a second, shall we?
Oh, you sweet thing.
You sweet thing.
Do I want?
Will I want? You gotta love this, right?
Oh,
yep.
Baby, you know what I mean.
That, of course, J.P. Richardson, also known as the Big Bopper, one of the three stars, along with Richie Valens and, of course, Dan's personal hero, Buddy Holly, who died in a plane crash February 3rd, 1959. That's 59 years ago yesterday. They call it the day the music died. That was a sad day indeed. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. That was your history lesson for the day. Coming up in less than half an hour now, stay tuned for Fox News Sunday. Of course, if you got questions for Dan or Steve or me or anybody, just give us a text, 95920. We'll try to handle you. Farrell did, by the way, text back, says he still loves us, even though we've been teasing him mercilessly.
And we didn't give him 20 bucks.
And we did not loan him the money. Meanwhile, speaking of money, Dan's got free books that will tell you how you can save money or safe money, and he's not going to charge you any money for it.
That's right. The Little Book of Safe Money, How to Conquer Killer Markets, Con Artists, and Yourself. We'll send you a free copy of this excellent book, all of which is very relative in light of what's happened in the last week or so, along with our white paper on the target volatility strategy we've been talking about a little bit on the show that helps to reduce the volatility of your overall portfolio automatically every month by adjusting based on the volatility in the markets. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387, 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we'll send it out to you absolutely free. Steve and I run the target volatility scenario every month, so we adjust monthly, right? Does that make sense?
That would make sense.
And the client's not charged when we do this. They don't pay any ticket charges or any commissions or anything, by the way. I should mention that. So we look at 9 asset classes. And asset classes, by that I mean large cap value, small cap growth, mid cap blend. Those are asset classes, very broad categories, not like technology or utility stocks, not sectors, or what we call sectors. These are asset classes. So they're very broad categories. And we look at each one, we plug in an algorithm, and we say we want X in mid-cap growth, and we want Y in treasuries, and then the algorithm, and I want to target a total volatility of 7% between the two, and the algorithm tells me, well, put 55% in mid-cap growth and put the rest in treasuries, or mid-cap blend, put the rest in treasuries, so 45% in treasuries in that case, for that portion of the portfolio. And so what we're trying to do is to make the squiggly line, as you describe it, Steve, a little bit smaller, to make it not so big, not
less
so wide.
Less squiggly.
So we're trying to compress
well,
that squiggly
line. Well, I got to keep
it simple, man. Well, we're trying to compress that line. That's all we're trying to do. We still end up at the same place at the end of the year. We're just trying to do it with less volatility, less movement up and down, a less bumpy ride, if you will, which is what we're trying to shoot for. That's really what this is designed to do.
So when the volatility started getting a little wild, the system said go to treasuries, right? So what will the line start doing when the plan changes? Okay, now get out of treasuries and go do something else.
Right.
What happens?
Well, what will happen is eventually the volatility will come back down, you know, from where it is now. It'll come, or it'll continue to go upward, in which case we'll continue to reduce our exposure. But at some point it will come back down to a lower level of volatility. And when that happens, my algorithm will say add more to your equities, basically to your stocks, increase your stock position. So mid-cap growth would go back up at that point and treasuries would be cut back. And so we want to be in equities when equities have low volatility. We do not want to be in equities when they have high volatility. High volatility equals poor returns and or negative returns. In this case, negative returns.
So volatility is the fluctuation in prices, right?
Yes, the standard deviation from the average price, yes.
And so what you're monitoring when you say target volatility is that's literally what you're watching. What's the swing in the price?
Right.
And if it's going up too much or down too much based on your preset parameters, and by you, I mean the investor's preset parameters, as long as you're keeping it between the some top line and some bottom line,
right,
you're okay. But when it gets outside those lines, that's what tells you to get into this and out of that.
Right. We reduce the exposure. And normally the algorithm tells us to make minor adjustments every month. Like it may say take mid-cap from 5% to 6% or from 5% to 4%. But in this case, in January, it gave us a pretty big move and said, you know, increase bonds by 80%, which is a sizable move and is rather unusual, I will tell you, for the algorithm to do this. It doesn't do this very often. But it does occasionally do that. And that's okay because I just follow what the algorithm says. I just do exactly what it says and I don't worry about anything else, because if I don't do that, it's not going to be much of a strategy if I don't follow what it says.
So when you tell people, follow your strategy, whatever it is, follow
right.
it right now when the waters are a little choppy, a pretty good strategy would just, if you did nothing else, would be to monitor the volatility. If that's the
yes.
only plan you had, that's not a bad plan.
Well, if you want an indicator of where the market's headed, volatility is an excellent indicator, in my opinion. It's one of the best indicators I have ever seen because it almost always gets it right. It's when volatility spikes, usually there's bad things ahead. When it goes down, usually there's better times ahead. Now, it's not always right. It's not always perfect. And I'm not here to say it is. I know better. But the main thing is that you have a plan that you stick to it. These are the times when it's difficult to follow your plan, no matter what your plan is. Like in 08, people bailed on their plans and they shot themselves in the foot. A lot of people did by not following their plans because they didn't stick to their discipline, whatever that might be. They let emotion control their decisions. And based on, you know, if Monday turns out to be like Friday, you'll probably see more people doing the same thing. You know, Thursday and Friday, which were down days, if Monday turns out like that, you'll see a lot more people starting to head for the exits and you'll see more panic. And this is the kind of thing that you have to watch against in your own portfolio. You can't let emotions drive your decisions. You just have to stick to your plan. You know, I have certain methodology that I use that have track records going back about 10 years. And I know that in the long run, they work very, very well. You know, as Bill Sherman once said when he came on the show, nothing works perfectly every time. Just because it doesn't work in a given month does not mean you should abandon your strategy. If it works in the long run, you need to stick with it, right?
You know, for some reason, you're making me think of Braveheart when the English are coming and all the Scottish are there holding those pikes, you know, and William Wallace is saying, hold, that, my friends, is discipline. When enemy's coming at you, you just sit there and get ready to take it, because that's discipline.
Your brain is screaming, drop the pike and run.
Or just do something. I will tell you, the hardest thing to do is to do nothing. And I think it takes a lot of discipline to do nothing. But sometimes that really is the best thing to do. Let's just kind of see how this works out. No storm lasts forever. It's going to be over eventually. That's why it's called discipline. And better yet, self-discipline. It's what you do yourself.
It's a very good point. It's an excellent point. And my thought process here is, what was the catalyst for the move in the market? The catalyst for the move in the market was an economy that is getting a little bit stronger and showing some signs of heating up. This is a good thing. Normally, this is a good thing. We like things like this. This is not 2008 where we're seeing the housing market collapse and we're seeing the financial system collapse potentially and financial firms go out of business that have been around for 100 years. This is nothing like that. We're seeing here the economy that is getting ahead of itself and a market that's getting a little bit ahead of itself. And so it's pulling back a little bit and having a normal correction, which is part of the process. We're not really seeing any bad news on the economy. The news that came out last week was actually very good news. You know, 200,000 jobs added. It's not fantastic. It's not the highest numbers we've seen, but these are good numbers. And we're seeing them consistently, but we all saw wages. We saw wages increases, which is what raised concerns about inflation. Well, we're going to have inflation. Inflation is healthy. You want some inflation. The last thing you want in an economy is deflation. That's a death knell for an economy. That's what we had in the 30s, basically, was deflation. We don't want deflation by any means. We want small incremental amounts of inflation. 2-3% is the target range for inflation. You know, these numbers indicate just above 3%, you know, 3.6% inflationary pressure. But that's okay, because the Fed can cut that off by raising interest rates a little bit, and that will be okay. It'll all work out.
So is it because payroll's going up? People are making a little bit more money now.
Hourly wages are up, yes.
And the issue that creates, that puts more money into the economy, right?
Exactly. The same amount of goods.
That's right. And so you have the proverbial too many dollars chasing too few goods
prices
things.
So prices go up. Inflation.
But the flip side of that, the other side that you talked about in the first segment, was what's the response to the Fed? Well, up to this point, they've made it kind of easy with lower interest rates. It was cheap rent. You could rent money pretty cheaply.
Right.
Which puts more money into the economy. So now you have personal income going up, which puts money into the economy. You still have cheaper interest rates, which puts money into the economy. What's the problem? You can have too money. I kind of hate to say too much money, but you can kind of have too much money in the economy. So that's why the Federal Reserve will probably bump up the interest rates a little bit. And so if I'm driving along, I go, man, how's that impact me? I don't even know what the Fed is. Well, the way it impacts you is it's going to be harder to borrow money.
Well, it may be a little bit more expensive to borrow.
So
you may be paying a quarter of a point more a month from now than you're paying today for a home loan or for a car loan. But rates are still very low. Rates are extremely low.
I agree with that. But the point is, the Fed is trying to prevent a gush of money into the system,
right?
Because you already have it coming from the income side, and they're trying to control it from that side.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to control the economy from going into a 1976 type scenario, or 79-80 type scenario, I should say, when we had real, real high inflation, above 10% inflation. They don't want to see that happen. Nobody wants to see that happen, believe me, because that's not good for your economy. But what they're trying to do is, the Fed has to look 6 months down the road. When they make a move today, it literally takes almost 6 months for it to affect the economy. So they have to gauge where they think the economy is going to be in 6 months, and that's not an easy task for anybody in any situation in our economy. It's just very difficult to do. So the Fed has to try to guess and raise rates today based on 6 months from now, they could be wrong, they could be right. I'd say right now it's pretty clear that things are pretty strong and they're probably okay to raise rates. And I don't think it's bad news because it's what they have to do. It's their job to stave off inflation. They've got to stave off inflation. And I'd rather they do it than not do it.
And what a lot of people listening who weren't alive back then, I mean like home interest rates.
Right, you're talking 18-20%.
You know, 18-20%. Yeah. You know, credit card rates, it's unbelievable. And people that did not live through that really don't understand what happens when you have that rampant of inflation.
Well, it'll shut down your economy.
Yep.
I mean, your housing just goes in the tank because nobody can afford a home loan. At 20%, it's very, or 18%, 16%, it's very difficult to afford a home loan. And so home builders shut down pretty much. A lot of things shut down. It's hard to sell cars even at that rate, but especially a home. And so that's why they're trying to avoid that. And the Fed's acting in all our best interest when they raise rates, I think, clearly.
All right. Read the subtitle of that book. It's The Little Book of Safe Money. But the subtitle is
How to Conquer Killer Markets, Con Artists, and Yourself.
You know, they buried the lead. Conquering yourself, I think, is the key. They should. Yep. Put that at the top. In fact, that maybe should have been the title of the book. But you can get that book absolutely free, The Little Book of Safe Money. Call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. That's 398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so they know where to send the book. Next on Money Talk, we'll break down more about the market volatility right here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
Hey, every day it's getting faster. Everyone said go ahead and ask her. Love like yours will surely come my way. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, Donna, oh, Donna.
Maybe my favorite Buddy Holly tune. I love that song. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. We're celebrating, or I guess not celebrating, but remembering the death of Buddy Holly and J.P. Richardson, the Big Bopper, and of course Richie Valens on February 3rd of 1959. Coming up here in about 8 minutes, your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. Next hour, we've got Fox News Sunday. Right now, we've got Dan giving away books. Tell them about it.
Yes, sir. The Little Book of Safe Money, How to Conquer Killer Markets, Con Artists, and Yourself. We'll send you a free copy of it and our white paper on the target volatility strategy we've been talking about. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we will send you the information in the book absolutely free. I want to point out something in light of this week's event, Steve, that we had, Fridays in particular. I think it was 2012 or 2013. This guy named Ben Bernanke made a statement. Okay? Remember him?
I do.
Okay? The Federal Reserve Chairman at the time. He said that if conditions continue to improve, he might begin to slow down the QE3 asset purchases, monetary tightening, in other words. And this was what the market and the Republicans have been calling for, even demanding for several years, to tighten the money supply because they were afraid they were going to have bad inflationary results and stuff. This is what all the economic models showed the Fed must do. Yet how did the market respond to this news when Bernanke made the announcement? Like it was the end of civilization as we know it. The Dow plunged 350 points in one day, which back then was actually a lot, in one day. And it tanked. And, you know, I recall because I came out and said, just don't worry.
That's right.
Be calm. And just kind of like with Brexit, this too shall pass. You know, this will go away in a couple of days. The shock to the markets that we had last week was not because of bad economic news. It was because of good economic news.
Which is kind of ironic, actually.
Yeah, which I think it is ironic. You're right, exactly. And so people are worried about inflation, but inflation is not a bad thing. Inflation is a good thing. You want some inflation. You don't want high inflation, but you want some inflation. And the markets, you know, the Fed's going to raise rates. We knew that before last Friday. We knew the Fed was going to raise rates this year. They made the announcement months ago.
It comes as a surprise to no one.
Right. And so this should not be a surprise to us. All it is doing, all the data did last week was justify the Fed's rationale for what they were doing, if you think about it. It just reinforces the belief that, hey, we think interest rates are going to rise or inflation is going to rear its ugly head, so we're going to try to cut it off. And so the Fed was somewhat knowledgeable as to what they were doing when they said a couple months ago, we're going to raise rates. And they've proven to be correct in that the economy was heating up. Now, the Fed looks at lots of data. They don't look at just one data point because that's dangerous because the economy really is not reflected by one data point, no matter what it is.
More
Right, it's a lot more complicated than that. Let's just put it that way. And so the Fed is looking at reams of data, and they're making a decision based on what they think is going to happen. They don't always get it right, of course, but they do their best. And usually, you know, the Fed in the last 10 years has been very measured in their responses. They've been very slow to respond, and they take their time, and they telegraph what they're going to do, simply because they don't want to shock the bond markets or the stock markets by doing something radical. Unexpected, more like unexpected, I would say, than radical, but unexpected. And so we've had a good idea what they were going to do. Dennis Gartman, one of my favorite people, has said, you know, expecting the market to be rational is not a reasonable expectation.
No, that's pretty good.
It's kind of irrational.
It's very
that's
irrational.
An irrational thought in and of itself.
It's very irrational. In fact, he said the market can remain irrational far longer than you or I can remain solvent. And that's a very, very good point, I think, from him, from Dennis Gartman. That's Dennis Gartman, who's used to be on CNBC all the time. I'm not sure if he still is, but I hope so. One of the things that we forget a lot is that performance is relative. We measure our performance against the S&P 500 or the Dow Jones or whatever it might be, the NASDAQ. Take your pick. It doesn't matter. But what we really should be looking at is measuring our performance against our goals. You know, Russell, if you make 11% a year from now until the day you die on your investments, you'll do pretty well, won't you?
I would think.
You'd do extremely well.
Yeah.
I would tell you that would be extremely...
Assuming you live for a while.
That would be extremely good return on your investments if you made 11% every year. Every
I'd
single
be happy.
Year,
absolutely.
Say. Right. But if the market made 12% every single year, you would never beat the market, but yet you would still reach your goals, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would. So, assuming that you had that goal of 11%.
Right. So what I'm trying to say here is, keep your eye on the ball. You got to focus on what's important to you. You know, yeah, the market was down a couple points in the last couple days, 3.8% in the last couple days, but it's still up several points year to date to 2.4% year to date. Still on track to have a very, very good year. And I think it's going to have a very, very good year. I think it's going, based on what I'm seeing in the economy, it's probably going to have a good year. Now, something could change to cause that to reverse, yes. But also remember, if we have a 5% correction or even a 10% correction, these are normal occurrences. We have them every couple, 5% is almost every year, 10% is almost every year too. With their normal occurrences, that doesn't mean the sky is falling and the world's coming to an end. It just means the market got ahead of itself and it's catching its breath, and it needs to do that. And as you mentioned to me before, it's a buying opportunity. That's
right.
What you're waiting for. You want a good opportunity to jump in and buy.
Waiting for the market to go down a little bit because it's just been so, you know, bearish, right? Bearish is the...
Bullish.
Okay, going, I always get that backwards.
It's been going up.
You think I'd know more about bull, but...
Well, and your decision runs counter to what most people do, because most people are fearful at this time and they want to get out of the market, whereas you're being logical and you want to actually get into the market.
Well, it just makes sense to me. When it goes down, that's when you want to get in, so
yes,
that when it goes back up, you ride that wave.
Right.
It just makes sense to me.
Most people are just terrified, though, of doing that. But you're absolutely correct. That is what you want to do strategically. That's obviously what you want to do in the long run, is to get in when it does this. And this is a buying opportunity.
Buy low, sell high.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty basic, I think. All right. Today, Dan's giving away the little book of safe money, and you can have your copy for no money, absolutely free. Just call his office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address. It's Sunday. They're not actually there. They need to know where to send the book. The number again, 918-398-8387. He'll also send you his white paper on target volatility, which we've been talking about all day. It's how you can sleep at night knowing that your investments are not going all over the map. You've been listening to Money Talk. We're here live and local every Sunday from 10 to 11. Your top stories, the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center are next. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great afternoon.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.